Hello there. And in this episode, I want to talk about the three Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, in the way that they contrast with one another and elements of continuity between the three of them. And I want to do this through the book Islam and the Destiny of Man by Guy Eaton that I've mentioned and recommended before. And he brings quite a bit of insight into the ethos of the three religions and how they compare and contrast, which I think is really helpful. So I'm reading from page 59 of his book, and he says, "In the Muslim view, Judaism nationalized monotheism, claiming it for one people alone, while in Christianity, the person of Jesus, as it were, eclipsed the Godhead, as the sun is eclipsed by the moon. Or again, Judaism stabilized this monotheism, giving it a home and an army, excuse me, but at the same time confiscated it. Christianity universalized the truth, but diluted it. Islam closed the circle and restored the purity of the faith of Abraham, giving to Moses and to Jesus positions of preeminence in its universe, and seizing upon the quintessential nature of monotheism, single-minded worship of the one, and upon the reflection of the divine unity in personal and social equilibrium, a balance between all contrary forces and between the different levels of human experience. Ibn Taymiyyah maintained that Islam combined the Mosaic law of justice with the Christian law of grace, taking a middle way between the severity of Judaism and the mercy of Jesus." And he said that while Moses had proclaimed God's majesty and Jesus his goodness, Muhammad proclaimed his perfection. In the same context, it is said that Jesus revealed what Moses had kept hidden, the secrets of the divine mercy and the richness of the divine love, and that Islam finally brought everything into perspective in the light of total truth. It has also been said that Judaism is the religion of prophecy, Christianity the religion of a person, and Islam the religion of God. In the words of Massignon, a French writer, Israel is rooted in hope, Christianity is vowed to charity, and Islam is centered upon faith. The latter is, of course, a Christian view of this triune diversity. Muslims would say that the Jews confined the true faith to a single people, and the Christians limited it to a single manifestation, whereas Islam proclaims that it cannot be limited or possessed in any way or exhausted by any historical manifestation. At the very heart of Islam lies an almost ruthless determination not to impose human standards or the categories of human thought upon God, or to confine him with any definition. By the same token, human likes and dislikes can have no relevance to the objective truth, and the idea that we, his creatures, might judge God in terms of our own interests seems to the Muslim a monstrous presumption. What Muslims reject in Christianity is the way in which God appears to suffer in the process of history, thereby ceasing to be totally independent and wholly self-sufficient, as the Quran describes him, uninvolved in the reflections of his power and benevolence, which shine through every fragment of his creation. As Muslims see it, Christians have been so possessed and overwhelmed by the splendor of their prophet, Jesus, as to compromise the divine transcendence. And in their cultivation of personal piety, they have allowed human society to slip away from righteousness, leaving the conduct of worldly affairs to secular forces, indifferent to the priority of eternal norms. It has become necessary to redeem the situation, not because there were shortcomings in the message brought by Jesus or in the message brought by Moses, but because of what men have made of these revelations in the course of time, and the manner in which the balance characteristic of every divine message has been disturbed. A final and unambiguous statement of the truth was therefore added to what had gone before, delivered by a messenger of God who would interpret it and live it with undeviating precision. Moreover, the community shaped by this divine intervention was to preserve the message with scrupulous care and to carry it to the ends of the earth without any possibility of error or distortion. It is for this reason that Muslims have so profound a horror of anything that savours of bid'ah, innovation, including what modern Christians would regard as necessary adaptations of religion to changing times. Man's function in the scheme of things, his destiny and his duties, have been declared with unprecedented clarity. Since all that needed saying has been said, there never again can be any need for a reminder to mankind. If men and women fall once more into forgetfulness, or if they again distort the God-given truth, then there can be no hope for them. It's not always easy for Christians to grasp or live with the seemingly abstract truth which lies at the heart of monotheism. The miraculous coming of Jesus and the sublimity of example which he sets dazzle them, so that truth itself becomes personal rather than objective. In Islam, God does not himself descend into the human matrix or convert by miracles. He makes known what he is and what he wishes, and this leaves at least some part of the task of redemption, which for the Christian falls with an all but crushing weight upon Jesus, to man as the vice-regent and earthly representative of God. Islam takes man as he is and on that basis teaches him his duties and guides him to his goal. It is able to do so because it rejects the Christian dogma that human nature is corrupted in its very essence. Man is weak, forgetful, need a miracle to save him. Christianity, on the other hand, locates the core of sin and the deviation in the heart of every man and woman born. Moreover, the natural world as a whole is seen to have participated in the fall, each leaf and each flower stained by the primal sin, a view which, in a secularized world, has made possible the brutal exploitation of nature to satisfy human appetites. I think I'll leave that there. This whole book is a very rich meditation on these themes, and I do highly recommend it. I don't agree with everything that Guy Eaton says on certain marginal issues, which I'm not going to go into, but he writes with such eloquence and such profundity and insight in a way that few other English writers have ever matched on this subject. I just hope you've enjoyed that flavour of his writing. Till next time.